Well, you heard me mention it to the children a little bit. I think one of the things that the United Methodist people do real well is that we eat. When we come together, we like to eat. Whether it be a homecoming, I mean, think about it. We talked about a homecoming this morning. We're going to eat. We're talking about doing a get-together for pastor appreciation. We're going to eat. We got together for Community Day yesterday. We eat. And when we do our fall festival, and we hand out all kinds of candy, we eat. We like to eat. And when we come to church, we're also seeking to be fed. We're seeking to be fed spiritually. And today, while we're in church, we're going to eat. We're sharing in Holy Communion. We're having supper together, the Last Supper, the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. We're sharing that as a body of Christ today. And when we think about what that means, and we're going to get to that in just a minute, but we think about what day this is. This is the Ascension Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate Jesus Christ going up into heaven. You know, I mean, he was crucified, he was dead, he was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Then he came back to the disciples. He wasn't gone completely. He came back to the disciples and presented himself to them and spent some time with them. And now he's gone into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what does that mean to us? It means that God is available to all people. You think about when he was with the disciples, people could hear about him, but they didn't have access to him. Because he was traveling around in his ministry, doing his thing, performing his miracles, spreading the truth. But as he was doing that, it was where he went that he made a difference, that he was able to make contact with people. But now that our Savior is in heaven with our God, he's available for all people, in all places, and at all times. So today, as we celebrate Holy Communion, he's right here with us as we celebrate communion. And if the church down the street is celebrating communion, he's there. The church on the other side of town, he's there. Because he's in all places. Our God, our Savior, in all places at all times now. I invite you to hear the truth in the Scripture this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to the one whom he is betrayed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what we find is that the time is getting near. I mean, the time is near. Jesus knows he's being betrayed. He knows that Judas is sitting there at the table and knows that's who's going to betray him. And he's sharing this last meal with his supper, this last supper with his disciples before he goes away. He knows that he's going to be tortured. He knows that he's going to be crucified, and he knows that he's going to be buried. He knows these things are coming, but what he's doing is he is, in essence, leaving some truth and leaving some hope for the disciples, trying to let them know what's getting ready to happen next. Now, the other piece of this is that the Passover was a critical time, and that's what this was. It was a Passover meal, but it was a critical time requiring remembrance. Because in some sense, it was a celebration of freedom from the Egyptians. You see, the firstborn sons of the Israelite people were spared from death during this time as they were escaped from Egypt because they placed the blood of the lamb on their doorways. Now, we think about what's happening here. Whose blood is getting ready to be spilled? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is getting ready to be spilled. And who is it going to save? It's going to save all of us because nothing but the blood of Jesus That's what saves us from our sin. That's what gives us a hope for tomorrow, a hope of an eternal life. But Jesus is here now with his disciples. He draws them back to a time in history about what had happened before. He brings them into the present. He tries to explain to them that his suffering, his crucifixion is near. And what he wants this time to be is a time of covenant making. It's a time of making an agreement. It's a time of making promises. And it's a time of, before he sends them out on their own, to make sure they understand what it means. What does the bread and body broken mean to them? What does the blood shed, poured out, mean to them? And today I would ask you, what does a broken body of Jesus Christ mean to you? What does the shed blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Now today we can come forward, we can accept communion, and we can do it kind of as a passive act, come by and get a bread, or we can get the juice and walk on and be thinking about what we're going to do after church today. Or we can take a moment to really think about what it means to you. To me, it is one of the most sacred things that we share, because it's a time in which we remember. I mean, really, this is one of the things that sets the terms of Christianity. It sets the terms of being a servant, of being in practice, of loving God. And it sets the terms of being in a covenant with God, that being a Christian is not something that we take lightly. It's something we take very seriously. Think about this for a minute. Think about why we come to church every Sunday. We either come to church because we're made to. I mean, it kind of starts when our parents make us come to church. We come to church because we feel guilty. We come to church because that's probably the right thing to do. Or we come to church because we want to grow spiritually. And for those that want to grow spiritually, I say to you that we're coming to church because we're hungry. We're coming to church because we're hungry. Heard a story one time, and I've shared this before, but a story one time, it was in one of these pastor's journals, kind of a funny things that happened in ministry. A kid had been brought forward to do Holy Communion with their parents, and the child, after he got his little piece of bread and his little cup of juice, said out loud, "But Mama, I'm still hungry, and I want more." Now think about that just for a minute. If we don't leave here today still hungry, and not leave here today still wanting more, then what are we saying about our spiritual journey? Have we come to a stopping point and said, "Well, I'm good enough. This is all I need to do to get to heaven, or this is all I want to do in my life"? We should stay hungry and be fed by the Word of God, fed by coming into church, fed by being in fellowship with our brothers and sisters, fed by participating in missions and ministry and service, and fed by prayer. And today, simply, we celebrate that covenant, that desire to remain hungry and to be spiritually fed. We celebrate that through the remembering act of Holy Communion. We want more. We want more of that right relationship with God, the one who brought our salvation into view through the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ who taught us how to share in Holy Communion. And each time we participate in this holy sacrament, we may very well experience the risen Savior. If we come to the altar today to receive communion expecting nothing to happen, then guess what? Nothing's going to happen. But if we come to the altar and we receive communion, and again, we're receiving it, we're not taking communion. I hate to hear that word, "I'm going to take communion today." You're not taking anything, because you can't take it from God. God gave it to you. God gives it to you. So when you come to the altar and you get your bread, hold your hands out and receive what God has offered you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The body broken, placed in your hand. The cup of blood, the cup of suffering, the new covenant poured out for you and given to you. God did this for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you because he loved you, and he loved you so much that he gave a son. Unfortunately, there are many people that view it simply as a ceremony. But it's one of the only two sacraments that we have in the United Methodist Church. The first is baptism, which we're initiated into the body. And then Holy Communion is the other that we are regularly to practice. It's a repeated celebration of the communion of the body of Christ. And through Holy Communion, we experience a oneness with Jesus Christ, our Savior. And every time we receive communion, we can expect to encounter, we don't know where or how, but we very well may encounter the risen Savior in our hearts, in our minds, in our prayers, or something that happens here, or something that happens when you leave here today, or sometime this week. But when we do this act together, we're paying tribute to that spotless Lamb who spilled His blood, whose blood was wiped up there just like the Israelites did with the Egyptians, that they may be saved. And through Holy Communion, we're assured that our covenant with God is one that we have been granted forgiveness, pardon of our sins. And we celebrate a life that's in union with Christ and a loving God who meets us at the table today. This sacrament serves to remind us of what we've received. Simply today we can say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me like I am, no matter who I am. Thank you, Lord, for being there for me and for getting me through this. Thank you, Lord, for loving me despite my skin color or my preferences or from where I'm from. Thank you, Lord, that I've been forgiven of my sins and I've been offered a glorious future with you in heaven if I simply say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. The divine presence of God, though, is not found in the elements, per se. And then we've got grape juice up here and bread. Now, I will tell you, it's a bread that was prepared with love because Miss Sarah makes that bread. And then, if not, Miss Kay over here helps her out. And they get it all done. So there's a lot of love that goes into the bread that we take. But it's bread and it's juice. But they're symbolic of the body broken and the blood shed for our sins. Now, we will pray a prayer of consecration over them. And there's a term called transubstantiation, to where the juice may become the blood shed and the bread may become the body broken. But it's what's in here that implies that meaning for us. It's what's in here. The divine presence is not in the faith of the worshipers, but it's in what God does for us. Because you see, the presence of God through Christ in Holy Communion is a promise that He made to the church. And through the sacred practice, the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us. And we feel the Holy Spirit. At the United Methodist Church, we know, and a lot of churches are different, but the United Methodist Church, we hold the belief of an open table, of open communion. It means that the only thing that you have to do to receive communion is just to be earnest in your desire to grow in your faith. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to be a member of the denomination. And you absolutely do not have to be perfect. And even if you made mistakes this week or even this morning before you come in here, it does not mean that you can't have communion. By accepting communion, receiving what God has in store for you, you're acknowledging that God loves you and that God has poured out His grace and His mercy on you, no matter who you are. The communion is open to everybody because this belief signifies an unwillingness on our part. If we think that that we can judge who should have communion, then it implies that we have the power of judgment and we do not. We can't judge who's worthy. I can't hold communion back from anybody. Nor would I, because I can't judge who's worthy. That's not my job. And when you really look at it, I mean, what communion is, it's one of the means of grace of the Wesleyan tradition and Methodist Church. You see, we're born with the grace of God upon us, prevenient grace. We grow in our justifying grace when we get to that point in our lives and we say, you know what, yes, I need God. And that we need a right relationship with God. And then through our sanctifying grace, we seek to be made more perfect in love. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, invites all to the table who love Him and earnestly seek to repent of their sins and seek to live a life in peace with one another. Now, I hear this argument, not so much here, but I've heard it in other places. People have said, well, I'm not worthy to accept communion. And I'm going to stop you dead in your tracks right there when you say that. That I am not worthy to accept communion. Because when you say that, you're potentially implying that we could make ourselves worthy by our works. And that salvation is attainable through human factors. And I'll tell you, that's not. We receive salvation because God loves us and He gave us His grace and His mercy and we receive forgiveness of our sin. So I can't go out here and do some good things this week to make myself worthy to receive communion next week. It's not about you. It's about God and what He is giving you. So we don't make ourselves worthy, therefore we're not unworthy. Our worthiness is based on the grace of God. And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and I'm going to read this because it is so powerful. John Wesley said this, God offers you one of the greatest mercies on this side of heaven. God offers you one of the greatest mercies on this side of heaven and commands you to accept it. You are unworthy to receive any mercy from God. But is that a reason for refusing all mercy? Is that a reason for refusing all mercy? Why do you not obey God's command? What? Are you unworthy to obey God? Now think about those words just for a minute. God offered you the greatest thing this side of heaven in mercy. He also commands you to obey. He commanded you to be part of that communion. And simply we're being disobedient if we're not seeking to grow through that practice. We are not required to be worthy to share in Holy Communion because our God has given His grace and mercy to us willingly. We're called to celebrate communion in a worthy way. We're not called to be worthy, but we're called to celebrate communion in a worthy way. The sacrament of Holy Communion is sacred. It's a solemn practice that sustains us, nourishes us, and prepares us for our journey to salvation. Communion is vital to our spiritual lives, and the invitation to Holy Communion is open to all who seek Christ's grace. It's not a meal. This is not a meal. This is an invitation. It's an invitation to a spiritual life. You see, Jesus Christ is a reflection of the glory of God through our meeting at the table today, where we can experience Christ. So, brothers and sisters, on this day, let us remember our covenant together as a body of Christ and give Him the honor and glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.